We are in the middle of a series called Full House. And no, we don't have John Stamos, but yes, we do have some awesome Full Houseness, okay? And, you know, one of the things that we see all throughout the Bible is that God really takes seriously the idea of building a house. God's really big about building houses. And so tonight, I want to show you how we can grow as a house. I want to show you what that's all about. When I was going from my eighth grade year into my ninth grade year, I had this thought that hit my head that said, I'm going to play football next year. And maybe you're an eighth grader going into ninth grade and you've had that thought. And I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I wanted to play football was not really because I loved football. In fact, I had always played baseball. That was kind of my main thing. I played a little bit of flag football. Not impressive at all to anyone. I just was like, all right, this is going to be kind of cool. So the reason I was going to play football was because I really always wanted to be that guy on Fridays during the school day where you were wearing the jersey around. And then you got to like walk around and like your sleeves are kind of rolled up and you're like, what's up? Yeah, I know. These are like 17 inches right here. And mine were like 13 inch biceps, you know, and I had like little stick arms. And so it was probably good for everybody that I didn't end up playing football. But, you know, I wanted to walk that around. And then, of course, you know, the thing that gets you the girlfriend is the fact that you can give her the jersey, the one that you're not wearing, right? Like, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just the fact that you can give her a jersey. And so I was just so excited about that. And then kind of started to think about, you know, if I play football, I'm going to have to go through two-a-days where it's like 100 degrees out and I'm going to have to be running and sweating. And then after that, there's literally going to be someone who wants to hit me so hard that I fall to the ground and just writhe in pain. And I mean, it's just, writhe is not a word, but writhe in pain. And it's just going to be this moment where like the first time I'm like laying on the ground and everybody else is getting up and I'm just laying there is going to be a really bad moment. Or what happens so often in football, which is that injury that comes, right? Where you're like, oh man, I can't even walk off the field right now, or my head is just messed up. Concussions are very real, right? So what would have happened is as soon as any of those things happened, I would have just probably quit or wanted to quit, right? And the reason why is because my motivation for doing it just wasn't there. It wasn't a good reason. It was a bad reason to want to play football. And we do this kind of stuff all the time. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I think a lot of us, we do things for bad reasons. You know, I think it's so cool that some of you are probably going to go into the military. I talked to a lot of you guys who are thinking, man, I'm going to go into the military. But let me just tell you that if you're going to the military only because you think you're going to be like having some theme music and waving a flag like this and with your shirt half ripped and you're kind of just standing there like Rambo or like Tom Cruise, I don't know, like that's not going to be the scenario. That's a bad reason to join the military. There's a lot of really good ones, but that's a bad one. Or if you're here and you're like, man, I need something, you know, like I want to go to college and I'm like, I just want to go to college to have fun. Let me just tell you this, that there are way less expensive ways to have fun in your life than spending $100,000 over 4 years and still pay it off 10 years later. Let me just tell you that there are better ways to have fun. If you want to go to college just for that, that's a bad reason. Maybe you're a guy in here and you decided, well, I think women are attracted to this manly scent I have, so I've decided to stop wearing deodorant. People are not attracted to that manly scent. You need to put deodorant back on, okay? That is a bad reason to not wear deodorant. We do things for bad reasons all the time. I mean, it just happens. Someone forces us to do something. I'll never forget, I was like in seventh grade, and there was this friend I had who, they're like, oh, dude, you won't eat that wasabi. And he just had this big packet of wasabi there right there, and wasabi is this really spicy thing. He's like, yeah, I'll totally do that. And so because of peer pressure, he just ate this whole thing of wasabi and his eyes just started running and his nose was just snot and just gross. And there's bad reasons to do things. And let me just ask you this tonight. What is the reason you're sitting here? Like, no, I mean, really think about it. Like, why are you here? Why are you sitting in church on a Wednesday night? No, like, think about it. Like, I think for some of us, we come probably because we're forced to come. I think if we're honest, some of us come because we think that's like the right thing to do, right? Like if we want to be a good Christian, like that's the right thing to do. Some of us probably come because it makes us feel good. When we come, man, like I get the feels, like it just is great. Like I feel inspired, or I feel like, man, I can do anything. We come because it feels good. Some of us, we just come because That's just what's always been done in my family, or maybe that's just what Christians always do. We've never really thought about why we do what we do. And here's the danger of doing something like that, is if anytime you begin to do something and you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you can instantly begin to go on this path where you start to do a lot of things that don't make sense. And tonight what I want to help us to do is understand, why are we here? Because some of us, if we're honest, we're here to consume. Like, we're here to consume. We love it when we get the ice cream, and that's awesome. I love ice cream. We love it when we come, and man, we in worship, we feel like, wow, the worship team was playing those songs just for me, or Ryan was speaking, or whoever was speaking just to me, and it's like, man, that was just that perfect moment, but, like, I'm just here to kind of get what I can get, and then I'm going to leave. And the problem with doing that is, although those are all good things, what happens on that note where our band hits the wrong note? Or they choose the song you don't like. What happens that night where I preach a message and you're just like, that just did not hit the spot for me. Like, honestly, like, I don't know. It just wasn't the one for me. What happens on those nights when things just don't seem to be, I don't know, cool, or they don't seem to be perfect, or it just doesn't feel like it used to feel? Maybe some of you, you've kind of come to the conclusion, and tonight, man, you're here and it's like, ah, man, I've just kind of come to the conclusion. I just wonder, like, why do I need church? Like, really, like, you're telling me every week that I can have this personal relationship with Jesus. Like, I can have this one-on-one relationship with Jesus. Why do I need to come to church? In fact, this is a really popular kind of idea in our culture, is that, oh, I love God, but I don't love church. I love Jesus, but I don't want to go to church. In fact, 10% of the overall population of the United States, which is about 30 million people, would say, yeah, I love God, I love Jesus, but I haven't been to church in like over 6 months, a year. Like, it's just not a part of what we do. And tonight, I want to help us with this, because I think this is part of your spiritual growth. I think this is part of you knowing, hey, even when things aren't perfect, I know why I go to church. I know why I show up on Wednesday nights. I know why I go on weekends. I know why I hang out with my crew. Because this is why we do what we do. And so as we go into this, I hope to show you, man, that there is so much that you can get out of this. That each Wednesday night can be a moment, a night for you to truly grow. You know, I think it's so important to understand that God's concept for humanity is very simple. God wants a relationship with people. If you've ever wondered why God even created people, it's because he wanted relationships with people. God is not this taskmaster who's just looking for people to go, fill out and do assembly lines and just be his servants and slaves. God is looking for people to have friendship with. But here's the problem. We messed it up. We got out of relationship with God. We lost peace and harmony with God because of our sin. And because of that, we go through our lives and we feel disconnected from God. And all throughout history, here's what people would do. They would go to a place. In fact, in the Old Testament, you could read that people would go to a tabernacle or a temple. It was this building where that's where if you wanted to hear from God, if you wanted to experience God, if you wanted to be in a relationship with God, that's where you went. It was kind of like this. It was a building. And there was this veil. We talked about this veil. We sang about that. Maybe you've wondered, what does it mean that Christ tore the veil? See, there was this veil that separated us from God's presence. There was this veil that separated us from God's presence in our lives. And when Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago, there was this very significant detail that the authors of those narratives gave us, that they said that there was the veil that was torn. And in that moment, Jesus all of a sudden took the presence of God from in a tabernacle, and he took it to a place where we could have a connection with him. Jesus created something called church. The church. And you may have thought that church was this building, but I got to tell you that Jesus, when he said the church, he never thought of a building. Jesus started the church, and the church is people. The word church literally means ecclesia. It's the Greek word. It means gathering. And what Jesus was doing is Jesus was saying, I am building a gathering of people who will come together in my name. You may think, well, why is that a big deal? And that's a really big deal, and here's why, because we all want to belong. No matter who you are, very often in your life, you've made decisions based on wanting to belong. Some of us, if we're honest, we've said, I've made the wrong decisions because I wanted to belong. There's a deep need inside of all of us that says, hey, look, I just want someone to accept me. I want someone to be a part of my life that just, they just love me for who I am. And I just want to tell you, if you're here for the first time tonight, or if this is something that's new to you, Paramount, maybe someone invited you, I want to let you know that you don't have to believe everything we believe in order to belong here. In fact, we love you just how you are. And yes, we love you enough to maybe challenge you to grow, but we love you and you belong here. And so I want to read to you from a letter that was written. It's called Ephesians. It was written to a Greek church in Ephesus. And here's what it says. It says, and he came, and this is Jesus, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Jesus came so that he could bridge the gap between God and man. That gap that had been created through sin, that gap that had been created because of our mistakes and our stain, that everything we've talked about, Jesus came to bridge that gap. He came to give us peace between him and God, between us and God. Jesus came to give us peace for people who were close to God, people who seemed like they had it all together, and for people who were way off the deep end. Jesus came to bridge the gap. He goes on to say, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Check this out. Here's what he says. In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Jesus is saying, through Paul, he's saying, look, I didn't come to build a building with bricks and clay and mortar and piping and all that stuff. I came to build a place where each brick is a person, where we are literally building a tabernacle of people, a temple of people. And very often we kind of look at the gospel, which is this good news that Jesus came to like save our souls, right? We look at this idea that Jesus came to forgive our sins, but sometimes we just stop there. And it's not we're stopping there. I don't know if you know this, but in the playoffs, they create, for the NBA playoffs, they create a pool of money for all the teams that compete. You may not have known that. Last year was $14 million that was split between all the teams. What happens is when you go to the NBA Finals, you actually get significantly more of that pool. And if you win the NBA Finals, you get the most. So the Cavs last year won $2.5 million that was awarded as a bonus just for winning the championship. Each year, every player is given an average of either $25,000 to $1.5 million that they get just for winning the game, just for winning the series. And that's pretty amazing. It's like, wow, that's a lot of money for just winning, for being the best. But how many of you know it'd be so stupid if the Cavs won that championship and they hold up that the crowd and the confetti's all coming down and they're hugging each other and they're like, we got the trophy, yeah, yeah. And everybody's like, all right, we're going to forget the checks. We're going to forget the $25,000. We got our trophy. That's it, man. We don't need the $25,000 or $1.5 million. We don't need any of that. We're leaving the stadium without that. How many of you know that would be so stupid, right? Like, you're looking at every single one of those players and saying, I know you're rich, but I know you could use $25,000 more, or not, just for winning. I mean, all you did was win, right? And this is what happens all the time in Christianity. We look at the championship and say, wow, like, I won it all because, like, my sins have been forgiven because of Jesus. Like, this is awesome. That's it. Like, man, I got everlasting life. Like, I'm going to live forever with Christ in heaven. That's cool. But that's not it. God didn't put a period there. He put a comma. God said, look, that's it, but that's not all of it. That is huge. And if you only had that, that would be amazing. If they were only champions, that would be amazing. But there's more. There's a bonus. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look, I came to bring peace between you and God, for sure. I came to wipe away all of your sins. I came to make it so that you are like a new person. Yes. But I also came to give you peace with the people sitting next to you. Also came to make you become part of a family. I came to help you be a part of somewhere where you belong. Jesus didn't just come to bridge the gap between us and God. He came to bridge the gap between us and our neighbor. He came to bridge the gap between the person on our right and on our left. You know, I think about this in our lives, and I think, you know, very often we try and be so isolated in our relationship with God or in our approach to God. But I really believe this. I believe that the growth is in the gathering. I think the growth is in the gathering. I think that God truly means what he says. Let's read verse 21 again. It says this, in whom the whole structure being joined together, this is you and I being joined together, grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, in Christ, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God is saying that, look, when you get together, you grow together. And when you grow together, that God will literally be in your situation. And some of you feel disconnected from God. Some of you feel like, man, I don't know why I feel like this gap between me and God. And it's not because there's something wrong between you and God. Maybe there is, but maybe you've had all your sins forgiven. You've given him your life. And you're just like, God, there's this gap. And maybe the gap for you is that you have not been put into the temple. You've not been constructed into the body. You have not been made a part of the church. You haven't got what you get when you grow together. You haven't taken this seriously. And I'll tell you, this is the area where I mess up more than any place. Because in my life, I've always been the kind of more introverted. I've always been the more shy person. I've always been the person who, if I had to choose between hanging out with people and being by myself, I'd probably choose being by myself like 8 times out of 10. That's just how I am. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, I can't imagine being without people. And this is not a shy thing or an extroverted thing. This is just God challenging us. He's saying, look, if you really want to grow, if you really want to experience my presence to the level that you're dreaming for and hoping for, then you need to be around people. You need to grow together. You can't do this on your own. And I've wasted too many years of my life trying to play hero ball. Instead of realizing that the best traction I've ever had is when I've committed my life to other people. And so guys, here, as we talk about this idea of full house, I just got to say that you are a part of this house. That you are a part, you are one part to play in this, and that your call is to grow with the person sitting next to you. We are called to grow together. And here's what that means. That puts some onus on us. If we're going to grow as a house, that puts the onus on us to say, you know what? I need to honor a couple things. I need to honor God. Man, if you really are a house, every time you get together with the people that are on your right and your left, are you creating an environment where God would really want to be? Man, when you guys hang out, when you're talking in your conversations, when you're watching TV or when you're watching, is that a place that God would want to be? Is that a place where you're honoring God? Man, when we're singing these songs in worship, when we're lifting up our voices together in church, when we're doing it like this, are you really creating an atmosphere, an environment where God is honored? Are you focusing your heart and your soul on God? Man, when you're with your crew, do you recognize that God is there with you? That God wants to grow you together. And most of us can usually wrap our minds around that. We can usually say, you know what, I understand that God deserves that respect in my life. I understand that God deserves that honor in my life. But here's where we very often break this and mess this up is when it comes to honoring the people around us. Man, it is so easy to drift toward division. It is so easy. Just today, I was researching a person. I was looking them up to kind of gain some insight from what some of the things that they were doing. And as I put their name into Google, there were like 10 articles on the first page. And the very bottom article was one that said, an open letter to this person. Everybody ever seen the open letters before? And out of all those articles, the one that I clicked on was the open letter. And in that letter, they wrote very respectfully, but the whole time I was kind of thinking, like, why are you writing an open letter? Why don't you just write a letter? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you have to make this so public that everybody else can think how great you are? Why don't you just send them the letter? But then I realized, you know what? I was drawn to that. I had all these options I could have chosen. I could have chosen any of those other tabs, but I chose the one that was a little bit, oh, that's got some drama to it. Let me see that. A little original, you know, housewives going on here, right? But why is that? Because we're drawn toward division. We drift toward division. Man, some of you guys, you've got some serious drama with some of the people in this room. Let's get real. You've got some serious drama. And can I just tell you something? That God wants to make you guys a dwelling place for His presence. And the way He's going to do that, the way that that's going to happen is when we decide, hey, I'm going to move past the division. I'm going to move past the offense that I felt. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to love. I'm going to serve. I'm going to honor people. Man, this shows up in so many different ways. Guys, this shows up in, man, if you're the one talking during every service and you're distracting the person in front of you or behind you from the ability to hear from God that night, man, you are taking away. You are hurting their experience. Why not serve them? Man, why not help them get engaged in what's going on? Why not be that person that leads the way? I just think sometimes we're so convinced that God just wants it to be Him and us, but the truth is that God wants a community of people. Because belonging is so huge. And there's some of you, you just honestly, you're looking for a place to belong, and I want you to know this is it. We want you to belong here. And every time your crew gets together, it's because we want you to know that you belong. Every time we gather on a Wednesday night, we want you to know it's because you belong. Every time a leader talks to you, and every time a leader asks you how your week's going, it's because we want you to know that you belong. And every time one of our students goes up to you, man, they say, hey, sit with me, it's because we want you to know you belong. You belong. Guys, I really believe that God wants to create this shift in our hearts together. And I just don't think this is just a message for just one person here and one person there. I think this is a message for all of us. That as Paramount, as this group of people, this church that is under the heading of Believers Church, that we have to take it serious that we're going to grow together, that we're going to create an environment where God can be in our midst. Because wherever God is, there's power. And you maybe have wondered, like, I don't know if I could ever break free of this thing in my life. Like, I've literally struggled with this one thing. Maybe it's been this anxiety or this temptation or it's been this hurt or this pain. I've struggled with this my whole life. Every time I say I won't, I do it again. Every time I feel like I can't, I just do it again. And some of you don't realize that the freedom you're looking for is found in the presence of God that is built in community. Some of you don't realize that, but you're literally one more friend away in this room from being completely free in your life, from being completely transformed. You don't realize it, but you're one friend away. Man, I was hearing this story of a jail, of a prison. There was a young man in there who had been kind of living this life of theft, and he had been given 15 years in jail, actually. And so he was sent to a prison in Texas, and as he was in this prison, he came to know Jesus. And same way many of you guys, your lives have been transformed. He came to know Jesus, and his life was transformed. He started to just, man, want to know God more and just get to know God in a greater way. And so he discovered that there were other people in the prison who had actually come to know Jesus. There were other people who were starting to live this lifestyle. And so they actually did something kind of crazy. They did something called a lock-in. And I know it's super ironic to be in a prison and to do a lock-in, but they did a voluntary lock-in in the prison chapel for 72 hours. It was for an entire weekend, and they brought their mattresses in there. The guards brought them their food in there. And what they would do is they would just do what we were doing. They would sing songs for a couple hours, man. They would worship God for a couple hours, and then some kind of preacher would come in, and he would preach. And then they'd sing songs for a couple more hours, and then he'd preach. And there'd be just this constant display of saying, God, we just want more of you. We know we're kind of locked up in here. We know that there's not a lot of other things going on, but God, we want you more than anything else. And as they began to do this, man, God's presence just filled that place. So much so that the very first time they did it, the prison administration and the guards were so impressed that they actually said, okay, you guys need to do this again. And next time they did it, they brought in all of these offenders, all these people who had been kind of knuckleheads in the prison. They'd been doing everything wrong. These were the guys who were just They didn't care, man. Like they were gonna go down swinging, you know. And they brought them into these 72-hour lock-ins. And as they're sitting there on day one, they're singing these songs and they're preaching. These guys are sitting with their arms crossed, just thinking, "There's nothing here for me. There's nothing here for me." But then, the prisoners who were Christians, the ones who were followers of Jesus, they just began to just go over them and just tell them how much, you know what, we love you. We care about you. They began to hug them, and I'm sure it probably made those guys super uncomfortable. But man, they just showed them that, hey, you have someone who cares about you. And then they would go back and they would start singing and they'd start worshiping. And slowly but surely, by the second day, some of these guys were from different faiths, different religions. Some of them didn't believe in God. By the second day, they were up at the front worshiping God without an altar call, without someone telling them, hey, you need to accept Jesus into your life. What happened? See, these people got together and they loved in extraordinary ways. They loved God in extraordinary ways and they loved people in extraordinary ways. And what happened? God's presence showed up in that place. And wherever God's presence is, it changes lives. Some of you're looking for that chance to change. You're looking for that breakthrough in your life. And the truth is, that only comes through God's presence in your life. And sometimes God's presence will only show up if you're in community, if you're involved, if you're actively in church. And so my takeaway, here's what I want you to walk out of here remembering, is that you need the people on your right and your left. That you're called to grow together. Each Wednesday night, each Sunday night or Sunday morning or Saturday night here at BC, or each time your crew hangs out, you guys are called to grow together. Man, don't just flip it off and just say, who needs that? Man, let God transform your life through community. Guys, can we pray? Lord, I recognize that all of us are in different positions. Some of us are, you know, we've known you our whole lives and we grew up in church and we kind of understand all that. Some of us never really stepped foot in church very much, or if we have, it's been a long time. But here's what I know. Every single one of us in here, we need to belong. We need to be at peace with you. We need to be at peace with others. That's what you've called us to. That's what we were designed to live. God, I pray if there's been any division in here, if there's been anything that has kept one person from loving another person in here, whether it be they think differently or they act differently or maybe they hurt someone, Lord, I pray that there would be a heart of love. I pray that there would be a heart of forgiveness, that there would be a heart that says, you know what? I'm willing to let the offense go. It's a heart that says, I'm going beyond the drama. I'm going beyond the division. I'm called to grow with you. Lord, I pray that you would work that in each and every one of our hearts. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to offer just one invitation to you. And it's simply that. It's just an invitation. You know, Jesus, he came as a man. He lived as a man, but he was fully man and fully God. And Jesus lived this perfect life, and he died this excruciating death. But the cool news is that Jesus didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the dead so that you and I could have peace with God. And maybe you're here tonight and you could admit, honestly, I don't have peace with God. I just know that my relationship is not right with God, and it's because I have sin in my life. It's because I'm messed up. And I want you to know that tonight, the answer is not for you to get perfect. That's not the answer, because you can't do that. I can't do that. The answer is for you to put your faith in Jesus. Jesus said very simply, look, if you're willing to repent of all your sins and put your faith in me, follow me, that I will give you a new heart. I will give you eternal life. It doesn't just start after you die. It starts right here, right now. This is the kind of life that you don't want to live without. This is truly living. If you say, man, I have not come to that place where my sins have been forgiven, where I'm going to spend eternity with God, and I'm going to start it right here, then I want to give you this invitation to pray this prayer that many in this room have prayed before. But it's a prayer that God can use to transform your life. It's a prayer that simply says, God, I need you. And so if you're ready to pray that prayer, we're going to all pray it together. I want you to just say after me, repeat after me, but it's say these words from your heart. Paramount, will you help me pray? No one prays alone. Say, Jesus, I need you. I know I've sinned. I know I've made mistakes. Tonight, I ask for forgiveness. I repent. And I give you my life. You call the shots. I'm yours.